Welcome to the Barrel Chat Podcast, where we provide an unfiltered look into the craft beer industry from the untrained palates of two dumbass outsiders. I am Matthew Muncy, and as always, I am joined by Dustin Wood. Dustin, how are we doing?
Good. It's a nice long holiday weekend. We're sitting here at basically noon, which is a little bit earlier than we normally do some shows. So interested to dive in, talk about some good beers, and hopefully not walk away too intoxicated.
That is the goal today, especially since I have to immediately go home and edit this to get it up for our Wednesday show. Before we jump into the beer review, we want to let you know that you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We're back on Facebook.
What?
And we have a TikTok. You can follow us all there. You can also listen to this podcast on YouTube now. If you enjoy our show, please think about leaving us a rating on your preferred listening platform. And you can join our Discord server by contacting us via DM or email us at barrelchatpodcast@gmail.com for an invite. For those of you who do not know what a Discord server is, it's basically just a chat room. Think IRC chat or something from back in the day. And we just have one of those where we sit around talking about beer and talking about the podcast. So
no ASLs in this chat, though.
Yeah.
No ASLs.
No ASL. So think about joining us over there. Today's beer is from, is it Gugman?
I think it's Gugman.
Gugman Haas Brewing Company. And they are located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And their brewery has a 4.09 on Untappd. That's pretty damn good.
That's really solid. I mean, it doesn't really surprise me. If you look at the styles that they brew, they have a very great ability to brew the really traditional styles really, really well. So your purists and your nerds go there. But also, they do the hype game really well, too. So they have, like, the hype sours and the hype IPAs. And they make good beer. They've grown astronomically over the past few years. They were just this little house, and now they have a brewery that would damn near rival Sun King on like event space and space for brewery. So it doesn't fully shock me, but I think it's maybe a little low as far as quality of beers I've had. But again, you're going to have some things that people don't like, and people on Untappd are the people that tell you that they don't like beer. So I think 4.09 is pretty solid. I could see them being like a 4.25 if it was just like traditional beer drinkers that actually enjoy the beer and not the hype people trying the other beers. Because I'm guessing there's a review on there somewhere that says, I don't like milk stout.
I feel like anyone who reaches over a 4 on Untappd as a whole brewery and has more than like 5 beers is probably going to be pretty good. Yep. And like if you're anywhere close to a 4, you know, like 3.75 plus, like, you know, you're right there. Anything below that, I start to kind of question, like, okay, I'm sure you got a couple good beers, but then what's bringing you down, especially if you have a lot of check-ins.
Yep.
Like what's kind of holding you back? The beer that we are drinking today, I believe is the one that they're most known for around here. And I'm sure that everyone's probably got a different idea, and I could be wrong on that, but like when I think of Gugman, I think of the Winner's Milk Jug, which is their milk stout. And a lot of that has to do with it being a representative of the Indy 500. You know, that's what they kind of brewed this after, because, you know, in their, we'll get into it in a second, I guess. This is a 6.2% ABV, 32 IBU, and has a 3.95 on Untappd itself. They wrote, named in honor of the Indianapolis 500 winner's tradition of chugging milk at the finish line, this milk stout offers a rich, malty, and chocolate flavor from a mix of 7 different malts. Milk sugars provide a desired creaminess and fullness to this drinkable, refreshing beer. Gold medal winner at 2022 Great American Beer Festival.
Okay. That speaks volumes in its own.
Yeah. Especially for a milk stout. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of milk stouts out there.
There's a ton. As far as Indiana is concerned, there's not a ton of, like, consistently made milk stouts that are available like year round, and one of the companies that brewed it went out of business. So Indiana City's Shadowboxer was a milk stout that they made double udder cut and a few other things out of, so barrel aging it and all that. But I used to really seek out milk stouts because I liked the like body and the consistency, but now I can't so much. So I haven't had a milk stout in probably 3 years. So this is the first sips of milk stout I'll have, so palate might be rusty.
Milk stout is, I would say, top five style for me, at least. Maybe top, close to top three.
Okay, but so English barley wine, milk English stout, barley, and Saison.
English barley wine, Saison, milk stout. An English mild is up there. And I, the last one would be tough. Honestly, probably like a Gosa. I really like Gosas now.
I haven't had a Gosa in a while. I have one in the fridge.
Just had one last weekend. Upland makes a great Gosa. So if you find their Gosa on shelves, go try it.
Upland makes... I just had a sour recently from them that was like a tart sour, and it was insanely good.
Yeah, this was their tart series, and it was a Gosa. All right, so before we jump into the guidelines, let's start with this can. I got to say, I do like their cans, and I like how they remind me of a Taxman, where they're all kind of very similar in vein, just with different kind of colors and, you know, a little bit different of artwork on the front of it. But when you see them, you know that it's Gugman.
Yep. So this here is a 12-ounce bright can with the shrink wrap type of labeling put on top of it. It's got the Gugman Huss logo just above the awesome graphic for the Winner's Circle milk jug. It's got the checkered flag in the background, kind of like a watercolor sky, so to say. And it's got the lei that the guy gets to wear whenever he wins. The graphic there is beautiful. I don't know why it's orange. I wonder if there is a story behind the orange being the main color. Is that like AJ Foyt's color? Because they're in Foyt's old building, I think.
They're in Foyt's
old building? Or they're in somebody's old building over there. But maybe not. I always thought there was a racing heritage to it.
Oh.
To that building because there's a race car out front. But overall it's pretty. To me, the name doesn't... I mean, I understand the name because of the Indianapolis 500 and stuff, but to me, the name doesn't fit the rest of their brewery, which is weird. So, like, 95% of the stuff they have the End of the Wild series, which is their sours. They have Mountain Meditation. They have Mountain Haze. They have, like, a bunch of different, like, mountain theme names and a bunch of outdoor hiking theme names, and then there's this one that doesn't match, which, I mean, it makes sense because it's here, but to me, it's weird. Overall, the can's really pretty. Bright, you would pick it up, I think. I do like here in a circle on the back next to Winner's Milk Jug, they have Store Cold, Wave the Flag, Drink Fresh, so that's kind of cool. They have their Instagram and Facebook on the back side of it here. They have their address, which I don't feel like I see often on beer cans. So it's just easy to find them, other than it saying brewed and bottled by and the government warning. Also, this government warning label is different than I've ever seen on another can before, because it's got like a box around it and it doesn't go the full length of the thing, which is unique. I feel like it 90% of the time goes the full length of the can.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
So that's interesting to me.
It looks like someone really took a lot of care to lay it out properly. Yeah. Like that's kind of the vibe I get, because everything's kind of boxed in, which makes you kind of almost read like left to right and like go all the way around the can in that same fashion.
I like that here underneath the like the name of the beer itself, it's got milk stout, the like stats about it, but then it has the head brewer's signature. That's cool. It looks like it is his signature on like he won the race, or his signature on, hey, I did this design, but it's not the designer that signed it, much like the Indiana City stuff. It's the brewer, which I just don't see very often.
Yeah, I don't have a lot a lot really to add because of all of what you said is the stuff I'd agree with. I really love the like watercolor picture to it. I think for me, the one thing I like about stuff like this is since it's going to be around, you know, forever, imaginably, that they're around, it makes it real easy to start to find this stuff on a shelf. It makes it stand out. It's not crazy. Like, they're not, they don't have to bring, the beer's so good, potentially, that
could be.
They don't have to, they don't necessarily feel like they have to bring you in with a crazy graphic or a crazy can design to get you to even think about picking it up. Like, you're just here to do it. I don't even, do they, do you know, do they distribute anywhere? I've not seen them.
They're out and about. They do cans for sure to like retail locations, like, because okay, my climbing gym has a bunch of their cans and a bunch of their draft.
That makes, I was thinking more of like, I guess I've not seen them at like Meyer. I've not seen them at,
I don't think I've even seen them at Total Wine.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking. I haven't seen them in any of the big retail places like that. So maybe it's more of just having to go there to get it. I do think if you put these on the shelf next to a lot of other things, it may not sell well to a casual.
To a label hunter.
Yeah. Or, you know, someone just kind of walking by and like, oh, that's kind of cool. This might a little, this one in particular might a little bit, just because it's Indy 500 based. So like, you put something like that on a shelf and it's probably going to give you a little bit more help.
Put it on the end cap with some checkered flags.
Yeah. Yeah. But it, yeah, I think it's, I think it works. And the name of it, I think my guess would be maybe this was supposed to be a one-off and it did so well that they just had to keep it. And you can't fault anybody for that.
So I will say, so I'm scrolling through their website right now just because I wanted to see if I could find one, why it was orange, and two, if it is as weird as I thought name-wise, and it's not exactly as off as I thought, but to be fair, like Riverside is their New England IPA that's huge. Great Day is their American Pale Ale. They've also got the End of the Wild and stuff like that. So they do have their series of things that are these like crunchy names for outdoor things. But the other thing they do is like Wilbur's Prize Pills has a race car on it. Winner's Jug Milk Stout has a race thing on it. Boyle Brown has a race thing on it, which inevitably means AJ Foyt is not where they are. They are in Boyle Racing Headquarters' old building.
Oh, okay.
I knew there was a racing one, but so it's Boyle, B-O-Y-L-E, Racing Headquarters.
Nice. Beer time. Let's talk about the actual beer itself. So again, this is a milk stout. So that is what I took from the BJCP guidelines. They call it a sweet stout, not a milk stout there. For the overall impression, a very dark, sweet, full-bodied, slightly roasty ale. Often tastes like sweetened espresso.
Sweetened espresso. Is that sugar? Is that stevia? Is that, what kind of sweetener are we talking about? Hopefully it's not stevia.
I was going to say, to be fair, this is also me putting it through ChatGPT to take their paragraphs and words that even I don't know sometimes and just make it a little bit easier to read.
Make
so
it more approachable.
You know, ChatGPT isn't the smartest thing yet. But that's kind of what we're supposed to expect out of this if you are a new listener, new to the BJCP guidelines. The overall impression is here's kind of what to expect out of this beer as a whole, from the beer style. Obviously, everyone's going to have some play and some creativity on the base styles, but it's kind of what you should expect. First, with appearance, very dark brown to black in color.
It's a very rich brown, like a red brown.
So, let me ask, how do you tell that? Like, to me, this just looks black.
So what I'm looking at is if the light is penetrating the sides of it. So if you put it here in the window, you can see like a super rich, like caramelly color that comes in. you can probably see it better in my glass than yours.
Oh, okay. So like at the bottom where the light kind of reflects on it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's not super dark. I mean, it is dark. In Matt's glass, it's a smaller glass, bigger pour because lactose. But it's a little bit darker. But if you let it get into the levels that my glass is at, it has like the candy reddish hue to it as well. So it's a very pretty beer. Matt's poured with a beautiful head on it, which I'm sure we'll post as a picture later on. But mine is holding a head. It's very carbonated. So appearance-wise, I think it hits what it really needs to be. It's a dark brown, like a nice warm tone dark brown. It can be opaque. So, I mean, it's not clear by any means. Seems to fit. Got a nice creamy head.
Yeah, it does. It's got that kind of creamy style head that you expect out of a milk stout, or that you want out of a milk stout, which, and as I said, you know, the milk sugar is what is supposed to give you that creaminess and fullness. So it better be there. If you're going to say you're putting it in there to give it creaminess, you better see some creaminess. For aroma, mild roasted grain, sometimes with coffee and or chocolate notes.
So for me, the aroma really is 95% milk sugar sweetness. There's a ton of the sweetness there. There's a little bit of grain. Not a whole lot of coffee or chocolate that I'm pulling so much. Maybe it is chocolate, but I just get a lot of sweetness from the nose.
I do get a lot of sweetness, a little bit of roastiness, maybe a hint of coffee, but I don't know. How often would you expect to get coffee out of a milk stout? Like, you would think that the sweetness would kind of overtake.
Yeah, unless
some
it was a
that.
Coffee milk stout or an espresso
yeah.
milk stout and or something.
And I know, like, you get coffee just from a stout in general, so it could come from that, but I don't get much of that. And a little bit of chocolate, not a whole lot. Like, you wouldn't be like, oh, this is a chocolate milk, like chocolate milk.
This is definitely sweet on the aroma, though. Yeah. I just being lactose intolerant means I can kind of tell what has lactose in it because I try to avoid it at all costs. And this is definitely lacto forward on the nose.
It kind of smells like after you've poured a bowl of cereal, like, and you get done eating the cereal and you just kind of you go to drink the milk, and like, it just kind of has that smell to it where it's a little warm, but not like as, it's not the same smell as like when you first open, like yep. You open milk and you're like, all right, I got to check it to make sure it's still good. Like, it's a little bit different of a smell. Probably a terrible way to describe it, but it's the best I could come up with. Now we get to the fun part, at least for me, the flavor. The beer is supposed to taste like coffee or chocolate because of the dark roasted grains and malts. Not too bitter, and it has a medium to high level of sweetness, which balances out the roasted flavors and bitterness. I don't know if I really... Coffee is kind of a strong pull.
I don't get any... To me, any coffee. There may be like the back end, like grinds of coffee that you can taste on the very back end, but that's probably just the bitterness from some of the stuff, from the hops and whatnot. I would say a little chocolate, quite a sweet, like dark roasty notes. It almost tastes like it's nitroed. I know it's not, but the flavors are kind of subtle, but in a good way. Like, they're not overpowering. Nothing stands thousands of pounds above the others.
Exactly. Like, everything just blends really well together. It kind of tastes like a, like almost like a fancy chocolate milk. Like, if it was made with, you know, like dark chocolate or something like that, not the rich chocolate that you get from like a Nesquik or just regular chocolate milk. There's part of me that it's not this level of bitterness, but that scene from Brooklyn Nine-Nine where they go to the chocolate milk. There's an episode where they go investigate someone being stabbed, and they were part owner of a chocolate milk company, and he's so excited, and they get there, and it's like this absolutely just nothing but bitter milk, and he's like, no, this is like teat to tap or something like that. And it's like, this is like the worst part of milk.
This is Boyle trying to describe milk.
Exactly.
Basically.
But it's not like that, but it does kind of have like, It's not this. It's not the sweet. Yeah, it's not like the sweet chocolate that you would potentially expect, and not even like chocolate milk at all either. It's just this kind of deep, roasty chocolate.
I think if you were to go to like a person that works in the like pastry industry, this would be like baker's chocolate, or like it's a bitter chocolate, but it is a chocolate and it's nice and deep and rich. So overall, I think it's fantastic as far as the flavor profile is concerned.
I like the bitterness in milk stouts. That's one of I don't really care for bitterness in a lot of the beers, but something about the bitterness in a milk stout just just fits.
It's like 65 IBU, right?
Was it? No, 32.
Oh, okay. Where did I get? Oh, 6 point something is the ABV.
Yeah. So I assume the bitterness probably comes from something else.
Yeah, it's probably the chocolates and stuff, the chocolate malts.
But it is just something that, for me, I enjoy a little bit more than like bitterness that you would get in an IPA or something like that.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like drinking a Three Floyds IPA. This feels like drinking like bitter chocolate in a good way. Like,
yeah.
Just this nice like... Man, I'm trying to think of the like bars that you can get that are bitter chocolates, but they used to make them when I was a kid, or I was eating my mom's baking chocolate, which could be the case. But it was just nice and like dry and bitter.
I will say it does feel like a heavy beer.
Yeah.
Like a heavier milk stout than, which is good, which I think is, you know, obviously we can just kind of jump into mouthfeel. So it's supposed to be rich and creamy texture, a moderate amount of carbonation, and a full-bodied high level of sweetness from the sugars. It's definitely a full-bodied stout.
It is. It's nice. It's thick. As far as when I'm drinking it, it is consistently thick. And then they're right here. I mean, it hits the nose. It feels full-bodied with a high level of sweetness from the sugars. And I feel like I could almost... like scrape some of the sweetness off of my teeth or my tongue. So it is very cloyingly sweet, but in like not on the upfront profile. So it's not like drinking some of those fruited sours where it's just sweetness. It's just cloyingly sweet on the back end.
It's definitely creamy. It is rich, but not like, I don't know. It's not like super sweet kind of rich, but you can tell there's some sugar in there. The carbonation, that's one of my favorite parts, is like, this thing has legs, and it leaves
a lace. It's
20,
nice.
20 plus minutes going since we first poured, and it just looks wonderful. It's got a nice little kind of creamy head still on the outer edges. That's kind of one of the things I enjoy about beers too. And I know you can't get it in all of them, but when you can have it sit for that long and be drinking from it, and there's still some sort of head to it, like, I don't know, there's something about that to me that just
quality.
Yeah, speaks quality.
Yeah, as far as overall mouthfeel, I think Matt just hit it nicely. It is a thick, it is kind of viscous, but it's not overwhelmingly thick like some of the beers can be with the added syrups and adjunct flavors. This is just that like creamy mouthfeel that comes from a milk stout.
Yep.
It reminds me a lot of some of the milk stouts that were my favorites back. Well, I feel like they made a milk stout version of Dorian for a while that was really good.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And I feel like a few other places have made like Hunter Vanilla and all those milk stouts from 18th Street. This is up there with back when Hunter was, I feel like, the top milk stout in Indiana. And now I will say I think Hunter has fallen off and this is better.
Well, it's time to rank this bad boy in our top 50 house beers list. What are you thinking?
It's a house beer. What do we have? Where are things sitting?
Okay. I mean, we can go through it. How about we do this? Let's just talk about where we think it would land, okay, and then we can kind of talk about what's around it. Because otherwise, at a certain point, we're going to list all 50, and people are going to be like, no.
I think this, to me, is somewhere between 8 and 15. I don't know that it hits quite as hard as some of the high-end house beers, but okay, it's a great balance of a beer. It's approachable. It's a fun name. It's a fun logo. the flavors hit there. It's a gold beer. It's a gold medal winner. So I think we'd be pushing the higher side of that. But I don't think that it's better than Zombie or any of the like top tiers that we have right now.
Do you think kind of two things. One, since you can't really drink the milk stouts, does that play? I know it shouldn't, but like everyone's going to have a bias in some way.
I've loved milk stouts for years, okay. And I can't drink them now. I mean, I can drink them now. I won't like it. What happens? But I don't know. Maybe it's higher than that. I haven't had a milk stout in like 3 years.
The other question I would pose is, and this one's also kind of for me too a little bit, is the inability to drink more than one in a sitting, does that factor in at all?
I think that's a turnoff for me. I mean, for house beers, for sure. Like, that's just, it's hard for me to want to drink four or five of these in one sitting.
I couldn't even drink two.
But I could drink four Zombie Dusts in a sitting.
That's what I was thinking.
Or I could drink four, like, cream ales in a sitting or whatnot, and it doesn't feel like I would stand up and be walking hunched over feeling like, you know, you drink milk stouts.
Yeah, it's like, to be fair, this is actually our first house beer stout of any kind, which is not good. We should probably look for some more stouts and porters.
Turns out there's not very many house beers that are those.
That's why we do all the imperial stouts. But I was just kind of looking at the list, and it's like, you know, all these beers, it is a lot easier to drink multiple of in one sitting. And this one, it's like one and done for me. Like, I'm going to go to something a little bit lighter after that. I think I do agree. I think it's a fantastic beer. So if we look at 8 to 15, which is quite a range, but we have Moontown Brewing at 8. I don't think it surpasses
No, I think it's Cecil. Right. Like, it's near Cecil, but I don't think that it's better than Cecil.
Number 9 is Blood on the Tracks Blood Orange IPA from Chili Water.
Okay. I feel like I could be right there with Chili Water.
That's kind of how I feel too, because like, I do love Blood on the Tracks, but I do love a good milk stout.
I think this, to me, this is... I would personally choose, if lactose intolerance aside, I would choose this over Blood on the Tracks, but I would not choose it over Cecil. Now, I think we could bring on Riverside and give Cecil a run for its money for a house hazy, because that's a house beer.
Well, we already know. I think we already know which hazy is going to be the house hazy. We just have to bring it on. Let's be honest.
Yeah. So, but I think if we brought that on, we could probably give Cecil a run for its money for right now on the list. But this feels like a 9 and would drop Chili Water to 10, right?
That would. I think I might be okay with that. Because as much as I love Blood on the Tracks,
this beer has won a gold medal too. So our opinion is a light version of an opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if Blood on Tracks has won anything. A lot of people don't put any of that information anywhere, which I find that really does suck, especially when you're trying to research for a show and you're like, well, has anybody won anything? And that information just doesn't easily exist. It obviously exists somewhere, but not easily. I think I would be okay at 9. I think bumping Chili Water down to 10 is okay. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think there's a lot of nostalgia that plays into Blood on the Tracks for me. That, again, comes with the unfair biases that we all have. But I still drink it. And I actually got someone to go drink it.
Hey, I saw that.
Yeah, guy was like, I had posted about their dark Munkel. And he was like, you guys going to talk about the beer? And I said, no. And he's like, you should go, you should just go to the brewery, and they have that Butler tap room. I was like, go try Blood on the Tracks. And he went and tried it, and was like, this is good. It's like, good. I'm glad that you know, we got someone else not only to go to the place to see other beers that they have, but to try something that we obviously is a top 10 beer. May slide a little bit, but.
And a nice interaction that, you know, is a nice start for interactions.
And I think that's what we strive to do is I don't want to shit on anybody's beer. You know, I didn't want to shit on Ardent, but if you're going to make a Saison, make a Saison. But yeah, it's like, go try something decent. Like if you like IPAs, because he was even like, you know, I went to Centerpoint and I did not enjoy that blood orange. So he was kind of hesitant to do it. And I'm like, I would give it a shot, you know, sample wise. That's why it's good to go to a brewery, because you can at least sample it instead of, you know, being potentially forced to buy a 4-pack somewhere like at a Total Wine or something. And then if you do hate it, you got 3 more that you're going to suffer through or throw away.
I had a few of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate having to suffer through beers. But that's the best way to, I think, get people in is like just go down there and try it.
Yep.
Just make that trip.
So what falls at 7, or is there anything at 7?
So 6 and 7 are empty currently, and then 11 through 14 are empty.
Okay. If you wanted to keep Chili Water at 9, we could slide the other 2, make it 7, 8, 9. But I'm fine with it at 10.
I think I'm all right with it. I'm all right with Chili Water moving to 10 and this moving to 9. Because I do think it is very, very good. Like, it just hits every single note that you are expecting. When you say, here's a milk stout,
yep,
it's exactly what you're expecting. And I think sometimes, you know, Blood on the Tracks is great. It's a good version of an IPA, but there's also an adjunct in it. And it's like, that's great too, because you told me that it's in there.
It was in
but,
there. Yeah.
You know, from just a, like when I think of, sometimes when I think of a house beer, like I want it to be that traditional one in a way. And I understand that, you know, like the Cecil is a New England, so it's not a traditional IPA, but a variant of that. But I do feel like sometimes it's like, I just want a really good base style beer, and this milk stout nails that.
Well, I think that lands at 9.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, if you haven't been or would like to go check out Googman's location, it is fantastic. It is a beautiful space. They have trivias. I think it's on Tuesday nights, which is packed as all get out. They have a beautiful outdoor space, big indoor space, dog friendly on the outside patio, brewer friendly there. There's always a bunch of people that I know that are brewers and they're in the beer industry that are always there because it's a well-known, sought-after brewery in Indianapolis. Go check it out. Go sit down, enjoy it. Into the Wild is a fantastic series for them. Their hazy game is solid. They even do some vegan Into the Wild series that they don't release in cans or anywhere else, just on tap in their location.
They also still have that chai.
Oh yeah,
the chai tea Baltic Porter from with Cosmetic, the collab,
which
that
is
was still on tap.
I
just
good.
Went this past Thursday before the Indy 500, and they still had it, and I got it, and still good.
Yeah, it's
still fantastic.
Dumb good.
Well, that is going to do it for the show. Thank you all for listening. We will be back on Friday with another Friday 4-pack. So until then, cheers.
Cheers, and a happy shout out to Joseph Newgarden.